Welcome back to D15 today, and this is Leslie and Liam with you, and we are going to continue with our guests. And our next guest, who we are delighted to say and welcome on board, is David Moore of Astronomy Ireland.
Morning, David.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Oh, well, it's really good to have you as an expert in relation to what everybody is talking about today, the moons, the weather, and the whole climate change situation on that. So from an astronomy point of view, what should we be looking out for at the moment?
Well, the big story this week is one of the best meteor showers of the year. It's called the Perseids, and the maximum activity is due Saturday night, but we want people to watch Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, partly to beat the weather, but also because you'll get great rates over three nights, not just the maximum night. And count how many you see, send it into Astronomy Ireland magazine, we'll publish the report, and that is actually how we know this is one of the best shooting star showers of the year. Not because there are researchers out there paid to do this, but because the general public count the meteors every year. And there are two big showers, one in August, one in December. The one in August used to be the best, but the one in December seems to be overtaking it, and we want to see if that trend is going to continue.
Yeah, that's because there's too many Christmas lights around in December.
Well, the counts, fortunately, are independent of that, and we want to watch this trend, because these meteors are made by bits falling off comets, and we expect Saturday night, for instance, to see about 20 times more meteors than normal, and maybe 10 to 15 times more Friday and Sunday night. So, I mean, go to our website, astronomy.ie. It'll show you where to send your counts, and do send them as soon after you make them as possible, especially if you don't write them down accurately. You jot down the notes if you're too far at the emails after you finish your count, and enjoy the spectacle. It's a free celestial fireworks show for everybody in the northern hemisphere of the planet.
And how can you pinpoint the exact time and the date that this is going to take place so far ahead?
We now understand how these bits of material fall off comets. And the comet in this case goes around the sun about every 120, 130 years or so. It was last back in 1992. I remember seeing it in a pair of binoculars back then. And close to where the comet is, you get a thick swarm of debris, and it sort of peters out as the comet moves away from the Earth. So it's gone out into deep space now. But there's still it's been around the sun probably thousands of times. So it's left debris all around its orbit. And at this time of year, the Earth's orbit gets closest to the comet's orbit and that swarm of debris. So we're plowing through these sand grain size bits of debris left over by Comet Swift Tuttle at about 130,000 miles an hour. So when they hit the Earth's upper atmosphere, they glow ferociously in a dying streak. And that's what a shooting star is. Not really anything to do with a real star. It just looks like a star shooting across the sky. Meteor is the correct term.
I think that's a very good point. That eliminates the whole principle of what a shooting star is as against what a person really should be talking about, that this is a meteor that's disintegrating.
Yeah, I mean, in ancient times, they didn't know what they were. We've got the benefit of hindsight. We know exactly what they are. But they do look like stars shooting across the sky. And a tip is, you'll see them anywhere in the sky. So in Ireland, it's often cloudy. So if you've only got clear patches, look in the clear patches. You can see them anywhere in the sky. If you know the constellations, the star patterns, great. Each streak should point back towards the constellation of Perseus. And that's why they're called Perseids, which means from Perseus. But you don't have to be looking at Perseus. That's over in the northeast, but you could be looking the exactly opposite part of the sky. In fact, there's a brilliant picture taken 2021 by Michael Martin on a beach in Wexford. It was on the front cover of our magazine 2 years ago. And it's one of the best Perseids we've ever seen. It was actually in the opposite part of the sky. I missed it because it was low down from where I was, and it was behind their house. But he got an incredible photograph, probably the best one I've ever seen from Ireland. We actually reproduced it in the August issue of our magazine, telling people all about the meteor shower. So, you know, go to astronomy.ie, join Astronomy Ireland, get the magazine every month, because there's loads more coming. There's a huge barbecue event you can come to on September the 9th if you want to look through some giant telescopes, evening classes, eclipses, moon events, loads of things happening every week.
Now, there was a great excitement some years ago in relation to what Astronomy Ireland were about by inviting people to come and view the stars and the whole atmosphere that's out there and what they might see in this. Are you still issuing invitations such as that?
We certainly are, yeah. It's called Starbecue, a barbecue under the stars. And it's the biggest star party that happens in Ireland every year. It's been running over 30 years now, first since 1992. And today we have hundreds of people come along, professionally catered barbecue. We take over the GA Hall in Roundwood, one of the highest villages in the country, in the Wicklow Mountains, where the skies are pitch black. You can see the Milky Way with the naked eye. So when you get the most powerful telescopes in the country on a sky like that, you see the wonders of the universe like you've never seen them before. Star clusters, galaxies. There's actually a bit of a dim comet, not visible to the naked eye, that the telescope will show this year. And the big attractions are going to be Jupiter and Saturn. I was looking at Saturn in one of the giant telescopes last night, and after decades, it still is absolutely stunning. So we can't wait to show that to members of the public. You don't need your telescope. We supply the telescopes. Just come along and look through them. It's definitely something you've got to do once in your life. There's a big exhibition in the hall as well, a few talks about aspects of astronomy. So it's a whole evening of space, if you like. And even if the weather's cloudy, we'll rerun it the following weekend, any weekend, until it's clear. So we even guarantee to beat the Irish weather by getting you to look through one of these telescopes. So go to astronomy.ie, there's more detail there. One of the members even made a little video about it, the Starbecue, the movie. Watch that and definitely bring all your family and friends on September the 9th. So it's only a few weeks away now. Book your ticket soon.
That's great, because I can attest to what you say about everyone should go out and take advantage of looking through a telescope at the star pattern and the moon and the planets. I had that privilege once in Australia in a beautiful evening at a mountain site where the telescopes were. We saw Saturn, we saw Jupiter, we saw the moon, and my God, what an experience that was.
Yeah, and the moon was up last night as well. We actually pick a moon-free night because we don't want even the moon to brighten up the sky. We have other watches during the year for the moon. But Jupiter and Saturn will be on show this year at Starbecue September 9th. And even Jupiter last night, the telescope was incredible, covered with cloud belts. Its moon spread out either side. So, I mean, if you've got your own multi-thousand-euro telescope, fair enough. But if you haven't, come along and look through ours. Most of the members of Astronomy Ireland, we did a survey once, 90% of them are beginners and don't even own a telescope. So, you know, if you want to look through a telescope live, it's all well and good looking at pictures on the internet, on TV and documentaries and whatnot. But to see them live, it's a totally different experience.
And Dave, for our listeners, like, your passion is just coming across the airwaves, like, it really is amazing. I'm just curious, what sparked your interest in astronomy?
Well, I'm often asked that question. When I was a kid, I wanted to blow things up.
Oh, God.
A friend of mine had a chemistry set, and I think it was 11 years old. I did eventually get a chemistry set, but we went home one lunchtime to have a look at it, and in the corner of his room was a telescope. They're relatively inexpensive these days, about 10 times cheaper in real terms as a fraction of your income than they used to be back then. So they were quite rare. And I was fascinated, probably because human sight is arguably our most important sense. And a telescope enhances that enormously. So I wanted to know, what could he see through the telescope? And he told me, actually, Jupiter was one of the things. Oh, can I come back tonight and we have a look at Jupiter through it? No, it's gone. I was, where is it gone? So typical curious 11-year-old. He said, there's books in the library, go and read those, but have a look at this chemistry set, which I think I did eventually get, but eventually gave it up and went into the astronomy. I was fascinated by how much we knew about the universe and how little of it we were being taught in school.
Yeah.
And it really blew my mind, and it still does today. I mean, I'm the editor of our magazine, and the stuff we can't squeeze into the magazine every month is almost criminal with that many incredible discoveries being made. So I don't see astronomy or space taking a backseat to human endeavors.
I'd say
forever, certainly not for a few decades or centuries at least.
And do you still do the school visits?
Do we still do?
School visits.
Oh yes, we do, yeah. We talk to tens of thousands of kids every year, and they're the future, trying to get young minds excited about space. A few of them already know more about astronomy than I do in some cases.
Yeah.
If you get someone
with the
like
access
me
to the internet,
age, with the internet now, it's like having a library in your bedroom. Back when I was a kid, you had to go to the library and read the books the hard way. But today, there's too much to read. I mean, space is certainly the biggest subject, a science subject, online. And there's lots of great things to do online, and people should definitely follow Astronomy Ireland on social media free of charge. We'll tell you all about events that are coming up. There's a public lecture coming up explaining the Big Bang that anyone can go to on Monday night. So check that out on the website. And there's a monthly lecture, in fact, every month. And there are even evening classes for beginners we run online for the whole country. By far the most popular astronomy classes in the country. They've been running for decades as well. They start in October. So the message is, you know, Astronomy Ireland is the most popular astronomy society in the world, here in Ireland. And, you know, I could argue that we invented space exploration. New Grange is the oldest astronomically aligned building in the world. So the Irish were definitely thinking about it 6,000 years ago. And it's still in our blood today. Why, with our cloudy skies, I don't really know. Maybe it's a bit like the sun. When the sun comes out, we all go crazy.
Yeah, well, should we talk about nothing else on the weather?
We're obsessed with the weather.
I just have a question in relation to what and how do you relate to the space program?
Yeah, well, we follow that very closely as well. We have a whole column about what's going on in manned exploration, you know, the robotic exploration as well of the universe. And there are huge developments now. Space is becoming privatized. Later on today, Richard Branson is at last going to put his first paying customers into space. And that's important because five Irish people that I know of have already paid him to go into space. And if this goes successfully, he's already had a test flight with himself and some of the staff. If it goes successfully, then they'll start rolling out the hundreds of people they've already booked into space. And we're going to see the first Irish astronaut. Could be in days, weeks, certainly months. We've been waiting for this for over a decade. So watch this space. But, you know, as Elon Musk, there's Jeff Bezos, two richest men in the world, own their own space companies, whatever you think of the rest of the things they do outside of the space arena. They're determined to put 1 million people on the planet Mars by the end of this century. Now, they said that. They own multi-billion dollar space companies. These are people putting their money where their mouth is. So the future for space exploration, the human side of it, is enormous. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger. In fact, the non-astronomers, the big financial experts in the world, have said the world's first trillionaire, we haven't got a trillionaire yet, is expected to be a space entrepreneur. So any of these kids in schools in Ireland thinking about space as a career, they could become the world's first trillionaire. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, they came from nothing, and you could do it too in your lifetime. That's what you tell the kids.
What about yourself and that role?
Well, I've applied to be an astronaut a number of times. Ireland is a part of the European Space Agency, and it does have an astronaut corps. And every few years, we advertise it, certainly on our social media, because we want Irish people to apply, and definitely in our magazine, that they've graced. Some of our astronaut candidates have graced the front cover of Astronomy Ireland magazine in the past. I unfortunately didn't get the job. No Irish person did in that round. I think it was about 2 years ago. A lot of opportunities came up, and I applied for 3 astronaut jobs. The problem is so did millions of others. Some other lucky people got it instead of me. But, you know, if I've got $200,000, I can pay Richard Branson or one of the others, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, for a few minutes in space. And if you've got $20 or $30 million, and who doesn't, to tucked under the mattress. You can go for over a week on the International Space Station. And those prices are going to drop until it becomes as common as air travel is today.
That's a fascinating story. Fascinating how you explain that. I'm sure our listeners are going to be very impressed with the opportunity that exists out there.
Yeah,
I mean, I know quite a few pilots myself, probably you do too. They're not that uncommon. When I was growing up, they were very rare. But, you know, there are going to be astronauts living in your town or village in the next few decades, for sure. So there's going to be a million people living on Mars. There's going to be tens to hundreds of millions working in space, and certainly in the space companies on the ground. And I know the Irish government sees it as a big growth area for the future. We doubled our contribution to the European Space Agency in recent years. And you know, look what the space race did to the economy and the industry of the United States. I mean, it catapulted them into a major world power. All of the electronics we're using today came from the need to miniaturize electronics for space applications. And they did that for NASA. But then those companies that did that, they looked for other applications of these things. Because in the 60s, people thought computers were getting bigger and bigger, and one day there'd be computers the size of the Empire State Building, and it would do all the computing for mankind. How wrong they were.
Yes.
Nowadays, we've all got that on our wristwatches.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd never really know what's going to happen in the future. And the kind of spin-offs that come from, you know, pushing your technology to the absolute limit. And space is where you do that. And as I said, financial experts are saying this, not just the scientists and engineers who've obviously got a vested interest in the whole subject. So there's everything you can do in space. You can become famous, you can become extremely wealthy, or you can just have a great time. And getting back to the Perseids at the weekend, you know, we just want people to get out and witness these meteors. To think that people would be asleep in their rooms with this happening above their head, thousands of meteors, you know, it kills me. They can't let it happen. We've got to get the whole country out.
Exactly. Your imagination is running wild. And so it's good to get people out and view what's happening above them.
Yeah, there's so much going on.
Yeah, imagine what you see when you do. You know, count them. Every 15 minutes is all you got to do. So you start at 11, watch for 11:15, you might see 18 or 20. Write that number down. Do another 15 minutes if you can. Go for as long as you can. Probably 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. is the pitch black sky, the best viewing you'll get. Saturday night is the ultimate night, but don't leave it to Saturday just in case the weather's terrible. It could be great on Friday.
But David, think about Saturday night now. That mightn't be the most appropriate time for people to start looking at the stars. They might have seen them earlier.
Well, no work or school the next day. So, in fact, it's perfect. You can't go to the pub every Saturday night. You've got to take one break.
Well, that's
true. And this is the year to do it. The moon's out of the way. Perfect conditions. All we need is the weather to cooperate.
Davey, you're an absolute ticket. We'd love, like, astronomy, we could really talk about it all day. We could have a whole radio station about it. And I particularly was, when I was in Peru last year, and I was so interested about the Inca Empire and, you know, how much they relied on, you know, astronomy. So I don't know, like, how much or how vast your knowledge is on that. I'm sure it's vast. So maybe we could have you back again for, you know, we could talk about this.
Oh yeah, archaeoastronomy, as it's called, the whole branch of astronomy, dealing with ancient peoples and what they knew. Remember, their brains were as clever as ours, just they didn't have the advantage of all
the knowledge.
They didn't
have, the technology,
But they were able to figure things out, and, you know, some of them were smarter than the average bears.
So we could talk to you all day. Unfortunately, we don't have the time, but we'd love to have you on again. So if we want to recap on some of the things that we have coming up, we have the summer barbecue, or the starbecue, sorry.
Yeah, September 9th.
Yeah.
And then Saturday
and
night with the
Perseid meteor shower this weekend. Then there's, in October, there are evening classes. There's also an eclipse of the moon in October. In November and December, we'll have Jupiter and Saturn in the evening sky blazing away. And going into next year, there's going to be a partial eclipse of the sun. The moon is always passing near planets, and indeed in front of them. And all this we feature in the magazine every month, aimed at the general public, kids and families, not for experts. So if you're still listening to me after these few minutes, you definitely should be a member of Astronomy Ireland. We want everybody in the country to join Astronomy Ireland. Let's keep it the world's most popular astronomy society, and we'll get the telescopes together as often as we can to share the wonders of the universe with everybody. Starting September 9th at the Starbecue. Definitely get along to that event.
Okay, very good.
You'll answer all your questions there.
Very good. And also that ties in nicely with D15 today, because we're covering the general area that Astronomy Ireland is operating out of. Mm.
That's right. Our headquarters are in Dublin 15. Most of what we do runs throughout the 32 counties. The magazine goes to everybody. All the events are online now. But actual physical location, although these days actually most of us are working from home, and we have been since long before the pandemic. But we do occasionally set telescopes up there physically, just, you know, to publicise particular events. Like we'll be doing again actually on August 27th, when Venus will be near the Sun in the sky at its very closest to Earth. Very few people in the world, about one in a million, has ever seen that. So check that event out too on astronomy.ie.
Amazing.
All right, very good. Listen, great stuff. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks,
David,
so much.
And continued
my
success.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, welcome back. That was fascinating, and now you know what you need to do on Saturday night between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. Get out and view the happening out in space. We're going to continue now with our final piece of music, and it's appropriate because we had diamond-studded shoes earlier. Now we have the girl with diamonds.